Have you ever had those moments where it sort of felt like all of your messages were getting read but not responded to? Where it sort of felt like, is God really there or am I just wondering? You've wondered, is God speaking to me? Is he not speaking to me? You've wondered the question of, is that just my thoughts? Is that someone else's thoughts? Is it the pastor's thoughts? Or is that God speaking to me in this moment? Or did I stay up too late and have too late of a burrito? Have you ever wondered those questions before? But I think if we're honest with ourselves, pastors included, we've wondered those questions, is what does it mean to really talk with God? Does he communicate with us? Is it just a one-way street? Oh, throughout our journey, we learn that communication and relationship thrives on a two-way street. So today, as we end our series, we're going to look at the truth of what does it mean to talk with God? If we're supposed to be led and directed by the person of the Holy Spirit, if he's helping to lead, guide, convict, empower us, how do we know when he's speaking to us? And how do we know it's not just me or you or someone else? And so this morning, that's the question that we're going to unpack. And so look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're going to talk about it. Look to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, don't ghost it. So this morning, we're going to look at three portions of Scripture very quickly. The first one is a very famous one from John 10. And we see in John 10, 27, it says these words, my sheep listen to my voice, and this is Jesus speaking, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So we understand here, we've got the shepherd and the understanding of who he is and his representation of a shepherd. And we know that the sheep, even speaking of us and the followers of Jesus, those who are his kids, they listen to his voice. They know him, and because they know him, they follow. We continue on to John 16, verse 13, one of the first verses that we unpacked for a few weeks, where it said this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So it's building a bit of a case that our God is not an impersonal God, that he was never meant to be at a far, quiet and alone, but instead he is a relational God, a God who wants to speak to you not only then, but speak to us now. That if we look through Scripture from the Genesis all the way through Revelation, we serve a God and we know a God, or if you don't have a relationship with him, you can hear of and get to know a God who has always been speaking. Right from the very beginning, it said that he didn't just use his hands and form, but instead, how did he form all of creation? He began to speak. He spoke it into existence. He said, let it be, and things continue to grow off of that statement even still today. Because as we're going to see, you and I serve and can know a God who is a speaking God, a God who desires to talk and be in relationship and koinonia with you and with me. But let's look at one more text before we start to unpack this a little bit. So we see Jesus first starting off saying, the great shepherd, he says, my sheep know my voice, they hear my voice, and they follow my voice, and they know me. Then we see that the Spirit has come, and he's going to speak, and he's going to reveal truth. He's going to show us the ways that God has called us to go. And then finally, we see this played out in the early church. In Acts 13, we see it before, but we see it in Acts 13, verse 2 to 3, and this is what happens. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So what did it say the Holy Spirit did? Spoke. It said to them, they knew in their spirit They knew that he was speaking to them, that he was guiding them, he was leading them, he was directing them. And because that, because they knew how to talk with God, they were able to get to moving to where he was calling them to be. In our lives, God is going to call us to step out into purpose, to step out into new areas, to step out of the boat and onto the water. But you and I have to begin to learn to hear his voice, recognize his voice, and then follow his voice. Otherwise, we're going to step out of some boats and sink. Or other times we're going to go places we were never meant to go, or we'll live in things that we were never called to live in. That's the importance of learning of how to talk with God and how to hear and recognize his voice. Because how many know in our world there's so many voices telling us to do something? Isn't it true? There's so many people saying, this is what you should do, this is where you should go, this is what it should look like, this is what this part of life looks like, and this is what you should do with your life, and this is what your family should look like, and this is what your identity and purpose should look like. But I want to tell you today, we need to learn to talk with God and not ghost the Holy Spirit, because today he is speaking, he is leading, he is directing, but you and I need to fix the rabbit ears. And some are saying, what are rabbit ears? I'm just showing some age. It's okay. That's like back in the day, if you were old enough, you didn't just get to stream it. If you were the youngest or if you were the only child, you were the rabbit ears. You know, you were trying to bring in a station. The station was there, the signal was there, but you had to adjust it. And then when you found it, especially if it was during a sporting event, you would say these words, don't move, just stay right there. And it was like, for how long? Until it's over. And that's that same journey in our lives. God is speaking, but are we listening? So this morning, let's very quickly dive into the truth. The first truth is this. Can we talk? Can we talk? Because I believe today, God and the Holy Spirit are asking that question of you and me. They're leaning in today, even in this place, and saying, can we talk? Can we talk about it? Because the first truth that we need to understand, if we're going to be people that listen and respond to his voice, the voice of the shepherd, we need to come to the truth and understanding that God is not wanting to ghost you. God is still speaking, and God wants to speak to you. Not just to your neighbor, not just to the pastor, not just to a board member. God wants to speak to you, and he still is. This isn't just a thing for the past, but he is still speaking and moving and leading and directing even today. I love one of the truths that A.W. Tozer says, it's the nature of God to speak. Right from the very beginning, again, we said in Genesis that he said, let it be. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, and it said that he was in fellowship and he was in relationship and communion with them. He walked with them and he talked with them. Some of our old hymns of old, he walks with me and he talks with me. We need to be reminded of that truth today. That when society and culture and sometimes their own fears and thoughts are saying, God doesn't speak, God doesn't still do that. Some have said that those gifts and those moments have ceased. I want to tell you, from Genesis to Revelation, we serve a God who speaks. It's his nature. He can't change his nature. It goes against the truth of doctrine of Scripture, that he doesn't change who he is. That's why we can stand on him as a firm foundation. So if he was speaking then and he's speaking then, he's still speaking now. That's why we celebrate the gifts of the Spirit active in our church, because God still is a personal and relational God. He wants to take the cover off and begin to reveal his truths, his purposes, his character, and his ways. We see even the truth of that revelation as a word is apocalypto. We always think of it when it comes to a scary movie. But it's a word that's spoken of that he wants to reveal. He wants to uncover that which was hidden. That's who he is. The hidden mysteries of God, he still wants to reveal those to you. and to me, because he wants to be in relationship with you. He wants you to know and respond to his voice. He wants you to know the words and the voice of the shepherd so that we would know him and that with boldness and courageousness, we would follow him where he asks us to go. That when it seems scary to say step out, we would say, I'm scared, but I've heard his voice. I know his leading. I've checked it with scripture and I'm stepping out. We see even throughout the truth that we hear those words, he who has ears, let him hear, or a variation. And we see that over 14 times in the New Testament, whether it be in the Gospels or in Revelation, he is reminding us through his Spirit that he who has ears, spiritual ears, let him hear. God wants to talk with us. And he wants us to learn to hear his voice. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good news. And the reason that is, and the reason why it's good news, is you and I were designed to talk with him. You and I were designed to communicate with God. Right from Adam and Eve, it was to be in relationship. Be in that Greek word that we've unpacked over this last year, koinonia. To be in close proximity, to close fellowship and relationship, deep relationship. He doesn't want us just to know about him, but he wants us to know him. But how many know in order to have a healthy relationship, one that is not filled like a guessing game, we have to communicate? Most, and we'll know, don't look to your neighbor, don't look to a spouse, don't look to a girlfriend or a friend at this moment, okay, or a boyfriend at this moment, but how many have ever had communication breakdown in a relationship before? How many know that things can get a little dicey very quickly when communication breaks down? Because a relationship without communication becomes a guessing game. It's confusion, frustration, and mixed signals. In a lot of ways, it becomes kind of like charades, a lot of funny actions, and you're kind of like, what are you trying to act out? It sounds like, it looks like, we don't know, and that happens in relationships. But imagine what would happen if we think that we serve a God who isn't speaking to us anymore, and he's not in a relationship where we're actually called to speak to him. We said last week, one of the functions and one of the signs and symptoms that should be of a church that is filled with the Spirit is a people that are devoted to prayer. What is prayer about? Relational and missional. It's about us talking with God. He desires that you and I would be in a deep relationship, but it starts with talking. But how many have ever been through a dead zone before? On my way home from the church, I have three dead zones. And so I'll be talking, sometimes it's talking to a staff, and all of a sudden, it'll drop out. And then they call me back. And then they're like, I bet you're going through McRae Heights right at this moment. You know, there's a few McRae Heights people, I understand. Head out to the valley, and there's just this dead spot. And they're like, okay. And then I go to this next spot, and then all of a sudden, bloop, it drops out. They're like, you're almost home. And I'm like, that's pretty good. Pretty good. And then right before my house, literally on my street, there is a dead zone if you drive to the far right of the road. It's crazy. Like, if you hug the center, you're good. But if you get to the right, it's a dead zone. In our lives, the question becomes, is the signal still around? Yeah. There's just certain areas and certain things that cause dead zones where the reception or the signal weakens. In our lives, you and I have some dead zones. There are things that make it feel like God is not speaking or that he's even ghosting us. But the fact is many of us are living in dead zones. There's things like distance, distraction, and disobedience or sin. Those are a few things that can cause us to feel like we're living in a dead zone and that God is ghosting us. But he's not. But when we walk away from what he's asked us to do, if we allow sin to run rampant in our lives, knowing what he's asked us to get rid of, and we're like, no, that's okay, I want to keep doing that, I want to keep living this way, or we're so distracted with what I need and where I want to go, or we're just so busy that we don't lean in and listen, We often will say, God's not talking, he doesn't talk anymore, and if he is, he's ghosting me. But the question, if we're honest with ourselves, is not, is God talking or is God speaking, but instead, am I listening? So we have to understand that truth and ask ourselves, even today, God, I know that you're speaking. It says right here from Genesis to Revelation, you are a God who speaks. You're a God who's in relationship. You're a God who wants to be known by me. You want me to know the voice and the leading of the shepherd. You want me to follow. So I know you're speaking. The question now becomes is, church, are we listening? Are we distracted? Are we at a distance? And are we living in disobedience? And then blaming it on God instead. So today, I don't know about you, but I want to actually hear the voice of God a little more clear in my life. Anybody else with me? So how are some ways, and if we're going to do that, if we want to know the voice of the shepherd, let's look at some ways that he begins to speak to us. So the second truth this morning is this: how does he speak? What are most common ways? This is not exhaustive. God can do whatever he wants to do. He's God. But these are common ways, the three most common ways that he speaks to us, that he talks with his kids, with his people. First one, through Scripture. We see in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, I'm not going to read it this morning for time, but this is the most common way. This is the litmus test. It's the primary way that we can hear and learn God's voice is through Scripture. It's his written voice, his written words. So I want to tell you this truth. If you're like, well, God is always speaking to me, and you're never reading the Bible, then you're in trouble. He can be, but you need to know. If you're like, God is always on mute, God is always ghosting me, if you have never picked up your Bible, pulled out an app, or even looked off of somebody next to you's Bible or app, there could be a problem because you have created distance and usually distraction that is stealing you away from the primary way that he still speaks to us today. My DNA and the upbringing of my life is very much the charismatic church, okay? That's the DNA of where I came from. I am Pentecostal through and through, even on the charismatic lean of that. So I love when God speaks, and I love when God shows up in power and signs and wonders. I love all of that, and I believe he still does. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but I need just to understand this. The primary way that he speaks, the primary way that if you want to know the voice and the leading and the direction of the Spirit is to get into his word. If you can't hear his voice, read his written voice. Dive into that. So number two, the second way that the shepherd loves to speak is through the inner promptings or the witness of the Spirit. We see this truth applied in Romans 8, 14 and 16, or even John 16, 13. When we say God said it, oftentimes it's not an audible voice going, this is the voice of God. Sometimes he does that in very, you know, minute situations. It's not the norm. He can do it, and he has done it. But many times how he is speaking to us and leading us and directing us is the perception. We perceive it in our spirit. We understand it. It just grips our heart. There's a prompting. There's a leading. There's an impression that you hear the inner audible voice or the still voice of the Spirit leading and saying, ah, you got to catch that. When he does that, he impresses things on our hearts, leading or bringing guidance, conviction, peace, or promptings. Let me know if any of these have happened to you. Let's make it a little simpler. This might occur or happen in our lives by experiencing a deep sense of peace or a check in your spirit, or the modern way of looking at it, a red flag. Okay, it's an unexpected or unplanned prompting to pray or to call someone or to act. A conviction about something in your life. Ever have one of those? you walk into a room and it's like the red flags are shooting off all over the place and you're like, this should be really good. But it's like red flag, red flag, red flag. And all of a sudden you're like, I don't understand this. It looks good. It should feel okay. But everything inside of you is going, trouble, trouble, trouble. Ever have that? Ever have the moment where you were just doing your own thing, busy doing your work, and all of a sudden it's like, call Bob. It's like, what? I can't call Bob. Call Bob. I don't want to call Bob. Call Bob. At least text him. And you're like, where did that come from? Spirit prompting, leading. Ever have those moments where you don't know why, but you're like, send a text because God's asking you to pray for somebody. And you send that text and say, I'm thinking and praying for you. And then they respond back and say, thank you. You don't know what I was going through. I felt so alone. I didn't understand. Because it's the Spirit speaking to our spirit, moving us and responding us to live and to walk in relationship. We see that played out sometimes through the still small voice or the voice of God. Sometimes it's an intersecting thought. As a pastor, you get those all the time. Sometimes you're sitting there and you're preaching a message and God's speaking this way and that way. And if you've never had to come up and preach, all of a sudden, then you're like, if you've been there before, you're like, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. Because you're going through your notes and all of a sudden God is with an intersecting thought. And he said, I want you to stop and pray about this. Or I need you to go this direction. God will sometimes do that in our lives where you're busy doing this. And then there becomes an intersecting thought that's kind of like an on-ramp out of nowhere that says, I want you to stop. I want you to pray. Or it's something that all of a sudden it becomes wisdom and understanding that is way above your pay grade. Ever had one of those moments? We're like, wow, that was way better than I could have come up with. Those are those still small voices and leading of the Spirit. And why that's so important is when we know, we begin to look and listen for those moments. We don't discredit them and say, well, you know, that was the burrito from last night. But instead, you start to line up and say, okay, you know, is God speaking? Should I quiet and listen in this moment? So he speaks to our spirit, and sometimes there's that inner voice, that inner peace that we don't understand where it's coming from, but it's just like that in a good way, a peaceful nagging on our spirit that's saying, no, don't go there. You need to deal with that in your life. And it's not a condemnation that's pushing us down, but instead it's lifting us saying, that's not the best for your life. Oh, I've got so much more. You need to get rid of that junk. Inner promptings and witness of the Spirit, him working in us and through us, pulling us closer to be like Jesus Christ. The one of the final ways that he loves to speak to us is through people and community. So I don't do it usually twice in the service, but I want you to do it today. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I need you. You get to be some of my speaking. Say, ready for the next one. Say, neighbor, the other way. Say, neighbor, you get to be a part of his speaking. Because in those moments, he wants to speak through you for that journey. It's not just about us. Some have said, why do I need to come to church? Why do I need to be online? Because God wants to speak to you and speak through you. And in those moments, you need help. I need help. I was going to have you say that, but I changed my mind. So in those moments, that's that truth. You and I need help. We need community. Because from the beginning of the text to the end of the text of Scripture, we see that God loves to speak through his people. We need to be in community. What did we see? The Spirit-filled church like last year, the empowered life is devoted to prayer and it's devoted and committed to community. Why? Because God speaks through prayer. God speaks through one another and through community. We need each other. We see that in 1 Corinthians 14:3 and Proverbs 11:14. I'm not going to unpack these ones, but there's three thoughts. Three other ways that we see in Scripture that he often speaks. First one is circumstances. Often we'd call that by open doors, closed doors. Then the next way that we often see him speak is through visions and dreams. We see open visions. We see, it's like you're watching a scene or a panoramic or a picture right open right in front of you. Other times it's with your eyes are closed and he's showing you a picture, but you're awake. We see that played out in Scripture, and many have experienced those kind of things. Then we also see that he speaks through dreams. But we're not going to unpack those, that those happen. Those are real. Those are ways that God speaks. But the three most common, the three most prevalent and normative ones that he does is through his word, through the inner promptings and inner witness of the Spirit, and through community. But then there becomes one final problem. John 10:27 reminds us, his followers as his sheep, they recognize and they know his voice. In a world that we've all agreed is filled with so many voices and so many leadings, how do we recognize his voice? How do we know of what you are hearing, what you are thinking, what you are being prompted to lines up with what he is speaking, and it's not a lie from the enemy, and it's not just your own thoughts, or it's not something that you've just watched on TV and tried to apply? How do we recognize his voice and know his voice so we can follow him where he wants us to go? The final truth this morning is this, is that you? Because when we're talking with God, especially at the very beginning, when we're learning as he's speaking to us, we need to ask that question, is that you? Ever notice when you get into a new relationship or a new friendship, you don't recognize that voice perfect yet? It's like a one with a little cry. You know, when a mother, they can recognize that cry just instantly, but others, as a dad, sometimes you're like, is that mine? And in those moments, the more you hear that cry, the more you're like, yeah, yeah, I know when that is. And you respond. It's the same way because you and I have to navigate through different voices. These are some voices that you and I have to navigate through every single day. First one, our own voice, flesh. We have to ask, are we hearing our own voice through our sinful filter? We all got our own filter, all have our own pre-understandings and presuppositions. We're all coming with our own lean. We all struggle with sometimes fear, negative self-talk, soulish desires that are based on feelings, emotions, and all of those. We have to be able to sit there and say, is that me speaking? Where God's like, I want you to do this, and you're like, no, I think God's telling me not to. Have you ever given in to your own fear, negative self-talk? Or sat there and said, this feels so good, even though I know Holy Spirit's convicting me, but I want that moment of self-gratification right now, even though I know he's saying no, and I'm like, I think he said yes. We have to navigate, who am I listening to? Second one, others. We are influenced and impacted by voices of those around us. Who you and I give permission to speak into our lives matters. Any young adults and youth in this place, I might for all ages, who you allow to speak into your life, it matters. Show me your five closest friends and I can probably give a good understanding of where you're going to be in the future. Who's speaking and impacting your life right now? Are they bringing death? Are they bringing life? Are they directing you closer to Jesus or further away from Jesus? If they are going to be people that we are going to believe that God speaks to and speaks through, you need to make sure that their voice is leading you in the right direction and is filled with wisdom, not foolishness. Number three, the enemy. The devil desires to counterfeit God's truth, remind us of our past, condemning us, and playing all of our failures in those moments through our mind and leading us back into temptation about our emotions and our will. He is a liar. He is a counterfeit of what God wants to do. So he is always speaking and trying to pull you away from God's plan for your life. You need to recognize that you are in a battle for your future and for your life. And so he is going to speak. But the final voice is the loudest voice, or should be the loudest voice, and that's the voice of God. He is the one who speaks truth, who speaks life. He is always pulling you up towards him, guiding, encouraging, building, convicting, and leading. He is not pressing you down. He is not condemning. He is edifying and building you up. Yes, he's going to convict. He's going to pull some things off of our lives. He's going to challenge us to do some things that we never thought possible, but he is pulling us closer towards him in everything that he says. Whoever's voice that you make the loudest in your life, whoever's voice that you respond to the most often, will become the one that dictates the airwaves of your life. So if you are driven and led by selfish desire, your voice will be the loudest voice in your head no matter what. If you are driven by always trying to fit in popularity, others' voices will always dictate what's going on. Let's let God's voice be the loudest voice in our lives at all times. He wants to be. So finally, how do we recognize his voice? What are practical things we can do? First one, how do we recognize his voice clearly? Look to the Word of God. Everything that God says, everything that you're like, you know, if someone's saying, you should do this with your life, line it up with the Word of God. If it contradicts the Word of God, run. So even here, if all of a sudden a pastor's up here and they're sharing something, line it up with the Word of God. Test it, measure it with the Word of God. It should be the litmus test. It should measure up with what God is saying. God will never contradict his word, his principles, or his heart. He doesn't lie. He's already given you his word. Number two, do a character assessment. Whatever you are hearing, whatever you're being led and directed to do, the wisdom that you are receiving should line up with the shepherd's character. God will not go against or push or pull you away from his nature, his desires, his ways, or his character. He doesn't change. His directions won't. So we ask the question, does it cause me what I'm hearing and what I feel he's leading me? Is it causing me to be more like the shepherd or less like him? If it's causing you to be less like the shepherd and display what he's doing, then it's not from God. His words will always cause us to look like, direct us towards, and pull us closer to him. It should in those moments ask again, is it convicting or condemning? If it's sitting there like a weight and it's pressing you down, saying you're never going to be enough, you can never make it, you'll never do this, you're always going to be a sinner, you have no hope for your life, there's no hope for your future. Does that sound like God? Because that is condemning. That's likely coming from the enemy. He might say, oh, man, there's so much better for your life. Stop walking in that junk. I want to lift you up because I got a plan and a purpose for your life. I need you to get rid of that so you can run further. We got to deal with that stuff because it's holding you back. You're not walking into the fullness. You got to get rid of that. Come on, walk into the fullness. That is doing what? That is pulling us up. That's convicting. So ask, is it convicting or condemning? If it's convicting, then it's probably God. Listen. Peace. Even when it's stretching, even when it's hard, he will give us a peace. We might be, it'll be peace that passes understanding. Finally, get wise counsel. If you're not sure about what you are hearing, or if it lines up with God, measure it with mature believers. They help confirm. Say, I don't know. I'm just new to this whole faith thing. Do you think that it might have been God speaking to me? Confirm it with wise, good counsel. So the Word of God, the character of the shepherd, walking with others, recognize his voice. So I don't know about you, but how many this week want to grow in talking with God? So here's 5 one-liners that I want us to apply this week as we get practical, because I got to get practical. We're ending the whole series. If we want to be people of the Spirit, led and directed by the Spirit, how can we grow in our communication with him? First one, start listening. We won't hear if we're not listening. Realize this today, even starting today, he is talking. Get those rabbit ears? Start listening for his voice. Number two, deal with the dead zones. Sin drops and weakens the signal. It damages and hinders relationships and disrupts our frequency. Jesus came to get rid of the dead zones. He already came and died on the cross so you and I can walk in freedom and walk in life, that you and I can have frequency and communication and good relationship with the Father. So get rid of the sin that binds us. Get rid of the sin that causes death in our lives, and instead walk into the freedom so that we can walk in close unity with Him. So drop the dead zone. So this week, ask, are there some things I need to set aside so I can hear His voice a little bit clearer? Are there some things that are distracting me this week that I need to step out of so I can hear His voice a little bit better this week? Number three, quiet down. All parents are like, I'm going to use this for my kids. He says, be still and know that I am God. It's a lot easier to hear in a quiet room. Quiet yourself down. Get yourself away for a little bit of time. Cut some distractions. Unplug a little bit this week and say, God, I want to hear from you. Henry Nouwen says this, without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual form life. We do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside time to be with God and listen to Him. If you and I want to take this spiritual life seriously, we need to set aside time to be devoted to prayer and say, I want to hear your voice. God, you're talking. God, you're speaking. I know it's your nature. I want to hear. Let it be said of our church, oh, that we were people that leaned in and said, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know your voice. And I want to follow your voice. Set an appointment with them. Put it in your calendar. Most of us don't have much white space in our calendars. Block some time for Him. Set an appointment. Say, I want to listen in this moment. Number four, read His text. If you don't hear God's voice, read God's voice. Read His written word this week. Set aside a few minutes this week to just listen. And last but not least, follow His direction. He's going to speak. He's going to lead. Be obedient and respond. And watch the relationship and the communication grow. When we communicate and we respond, that communication and that relationship fosters and it grows deeper. He wants to do that in your life, through your life, and around your life. I don't know about you, but I know that God is still speaking, and He has something He wants to say to me, and He has something He wants to say to you, and He has something He wants to say to our church and our community and our world. The question is, will we today say, here I am, God, I'm listening. I want to know your voice. I want to know you, and I'm going to follow you. Church, would you stand if you're willing to say, I want to know Him and I want to listen to Him? Lord, this morning we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you are not a God that ghosts us, but you are a God who is still speaking. And a God who wants to be in relationship and communication with us. So today we say, Holy Spirit, begin to give us ears to hear what you are speaking. Let us lean in and listen to the voice of the shepherd, that we would not only hear his voice, we would recognize his voice, and in doing so, we would get to know him greater. And as we hear your voice and we know your heart more, Jesus, help us to respond and follow your direction. Let it be said of us as individuals and of a church body that we were people that talked with God. That we were not at afar, but we were close. And as those of Scripture, it would be that we knew Him face to face. We knew Him intimately, that daily we talked and were led by Him in everything that we did. So this week as we go, help us to get rid of the dead zones. And instead, whatever needs to happen, let us tune to your frequency, that we would clearly hear your voice. That we would know the shepherd, oh, and we would follow him wherever he wants us to go. Holy Spirit, guide, lead, and direct us. Empower us for mission. Be with us today as we go. We pray all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen and amen. Be blessed. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you next week.